trust in senior management is falling across the federal government. That is part of what we're seeing from early results from this year's Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. The full results come out tomorrow afternoon. You can find those at federalnewsradio.com, and you can see the preliminary results that from individual agencies that we already have. Ron Sanders is vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton and a longtime human resources expert and official in the federal government. He is analyzing the survey results as they come in. We have, Ron, results for about a little less than two-thirds of the civilian employees in the federal government. What do you take away from the numbers that we have so far, big agencies like DOD, VA, and others reporting in?
Well, it's a little bit of deja vu all over again, isn't it? The trend lines continue, Francis. I like to look at these surveys in two dimensions. There are a number of items that deal with what I would call the intrinsic things like working conditions and pay and promotion. And, you know, those continue to go south. And that's a problem worth paying a lot of attention to. But there are a number of items that deal with extrinsic things. The extrinsic things like pay and promotions, those continue to go south. There are items, though, that deal with intrinsic things like the commitment and dedication that federal employees have to their jobs. And while those have gone down a bit, they remain high. And I think that speaks to the resilience of the federal workforce. I do worry because these are all lagging indicators. They're out of date already. It takes a while for the results to be reported. And I think while it's worth losing sleep over the extrinsic items like pay and promotions, those require systemic changes. If the intrinsic items, the intrinsic results start going down, if people start thinking less of the work they do, then that's cause for some worry. And those are going down a bit, but as I said, federal employees are a fairly resilient lot, and they remain pretty high.
Ron, I confess I'm surprised at the numbers that we've seen so far, that they didn't go down faster than they did, because this is the first Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey that we have taken after the sequestration furloughs and after the shutdown. And I quite honestly expected some of the numbers that you've talked about to be lower than they were this time around.
Frankly, I did too, and it's gratifying that they haven't gone down a lot, especially given that the survey was administered not very long after the shutdown,
right,
and other things like that. So again, I think that's a credit to federal employees. But as I think you know, those overall aggregate results mask more problematic results in individual agencies, and we've seen a little bit of that now with VA and DHS releasing their results ahead of the game.
Yeah, my colleague Shefali Kapadia wrote about the VA numbers when they came out, and I guess the most disturbing thing that we see there is results that I guess we shouldn't be surprised about after seeing the headlines that we've seen in the last 6 months or so from the Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm not going to go into every single number. We'll link Shefali's story. We'll bring it back up to the top at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. But my overall takeaway is that the whistleblower issues that we saw VA having to deal with are reflected in the numbers that we see about how people, rank and file employees at VA, view the leadership there. And it's kind of a microcosm of other agencies, maybe a little worse than at other agencies, but we're seeing it all across government. There's just kind of a general distrust of the policies and procedures that management's putting in place among the rank and file employee.
I think that's true, and that's disconcerting. And there's a bit of a good news, bad news angle to this, Francis. While those numbers are problematic, I will tell you from my experience, almost every survey result is local. Employees respond to the survey through the lens of their first-line manager, their second-line manager, the senior executive that happens to preside over their installation or their hospital or their office. And so when they say they distrust senior managers or senior executives, some of that has to do with folks in headquarters in Washington. But again, I think employees respond to this through the lens of the managers and executives they see every day. And if those managers and executives are doing a good job, if they're trustworthy, if they're credible, if they're honest and transparent, survey results are going to be higher than otherwise. I mean, look, I've read a number of pundits who suggest that the toxic environment towards federal employees is what's driving these results down. But every year when the Partnership for Public Service releases its best places to work, you've got 10 agencies, and there are more that don't make the top 10 that are just as good, who, despite that environment, toxic or otherwise, manage to get great survey results. And I think that's largely the result of line leaders taking this seriously, being held accountable for survey results, and I think they speak for themselves.
Ron Sanders of Booz Allen's my guest, and one of those agencies that's consistently at the top of the list is NASA, and the Chief Human Capital Officer there, Jerry Buchholz, last time she was on the program. We talked about the distinction that I'm not sure enough people make when it comes to the concept of getting good survey results on the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, Ron, and that is the end game, the outcome that you want is not to get good results in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. The outcome that you want is to be a good place to work so that then you get those numbers. It's the way that you tell if you're achieving the end goal, not the end goal itself. And I wonder if we get that discombobulated sometimes.
Yeah, it's a diagnostic, but it's a useful diagnostic. Look, I do think one of the secrets to good survey results and a good work environment that gets you good survey results is holding managers accountable for that, making sure that they're doing the things that that lead to a productive work environment, a healthy work environment, and there are ways to do that. You can put stuff like this in their performance plans. You can hold them accountable through performance plans and promotions and other things to ensure that on the ground where, you know, in where they're in, you know, the full light of day with their employees are seeing them do the right thing. And I think the results then will respond.
Another point you've emphasized in the past with me about this data, Ron, is, and you kind of touched on it earlier in our conversation, is that you have to look at it on a granular level. You talked about that a moment ago when you talked about the fact that people make these rankings and give these ratings on a local basis and not on an enterprise-wide basis. Understanding that, given that, how do you then use this, as you mentioned a moment ago, this being a diagnostic, how do you use it effectively as a diagnostic starting tomorrow as soon as we get these numbers?
Well, I think at the department level, at the bureau level, and most importantly at the installation or office level, you've got to disaggregate the data. If you're a departmental Chico or bureau Chico, you got to look at those organizations that are performing well against the survey and those that are performing poorly, those that get poor results, and drill down to the individual managers and executives who are in charge of those and help them. You can train them. You can hold them accountable. When I was with the Internal Revenue Service, you know, an agency with 120,000 employees and at the time about 10,000 supervisors, we used an employee satisfaction survey. This was before the EVS. And we had results for every first-line manager, and we looked for the bottom 10%. And we went out and helped them. We gave them facilitators to hold focus groups with their employees. The union was there with us. The idea first was to help those managers who were struggling, as indicated by the diagnostic, to help those managers get better, to improve, and the results will follow. And for those that couldn't, we took other actions, in some cases reassigning them. But you've got to pay attention at that level. The larger the aggregate results really don't tell you much. I mean, they can give you a feel for macro trends, but that's not how you're going to improve the workplace.
When you talk about paying attention then, Ron, it strikes me that when numbers come out tomorrow, If the chief human capital officers and their colleagues have been paying attention, nobody should really be shocked by the numbers that they see tomorrow, should they? They should have, I mean, not broadly. The individual, the fine point data may be a little bit eyebrow raising, but overall, I would think somebody in an agency should have an idea of where his or her agency's headed trend-wise, right?
No, there shouldn't be any surprises. You suggested one surprise, and that is that despite all that's happened over the past 12 months, some of those intrinsic indicators, the commitment and dedication that employees have to their jobs, those remain very high. I'll tell you, I once had a private sector HR director tell me that if he got employee commitment scores like these, and we were getting them at the time, he would get a $500,000 bonus. On the other hand, he said, if I got employee survey results with respect to pay and promotions and things like that, dealing with poor performers, I'd be fired. So it's kind of a mixed bag.